From NPR News, this is Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Joe Palca. Up next, has all this talk of more fierce hurricanes and runaway levels of CO2 in the atmosphere got you down? Wishing you had some more upbeat news about the environment to share? Well, you're in luck. We're crossing over to the sunnier side of Global Warming Street, a place where nuclear reactors are in the backyard and Arctic icebergs bottled water for sale. Oh, that sounds great. Joining us now with the lighter side of global warming is my guest, Sidney Harris. He's a freelance cartoonist in New Haven, Connecticut, and one of the creators of 101 Funny Things About Global Warming, published this month by Bloomsbury USA. He joins me here in the Science Friday studio in New York. Welcome back to the program, Mr. Harris.
Well, thank you, Joe. Nice being here.
And if you want to join us to ask Sidney Harris some questions, and actually, at some point, if you're like me, you'll have a long history of looking at his cartoons. So maybe if we get off the climate change topic, you maybe can bring up something that you particularly like from some other of Mr. Harris's cartoons. But anyway, you can give us a call. Our number is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. And you can see some of the cartoons we're going to be talking about at our website, www.sciencefriday.com. So, global warming. How did you pick this one?
Well, actually, I didn't pick it.
You didn't?
I was going to do a book of science cartoons.
Uh-huh.
And it's with an agent, David Kuhn, who came up with the great idea of doing a global warming book.
So what are some of your favorites?
Well, I have one that well, first of all, let me mention that I knew or know all the cartoonists in the book except one, who was an Englishman, Ed McLaughlin. I knew his work, and I took a chance and wrote to him and then subsequently spoke to him. We kept faxing. He doesn't do email.
So how did you decide who to include? I mean, these were your pals, but also people that you admired?
Yeah, it's a combination of people. It's everyone I know. Not everyone I know, but people I do know. And Ed McLaughlin. And you mentioned a favorite cartoon, and one of the best in the book is one of his about this man who's, well, it's a great detailed drawing that he did of an English country house, two women in the bay window talking. There's a greenhouse out back, and this demented man is crawling on hands and knees with a knife and fork in his hand.
I see it.
His tongue hanging out. Because a hedgehog has been run over, and he's a vegetarian and is dying to eat that hedgehog, whose tongue is also hanging out.
Yes, and been
and it's such a wonderful piece of work.
And so, why does this strike you as global climate change related? Because I was trying to think.
This is about vegetarianism.
Vegetarianism.
They're all connected, I think. One of my guidelines was Al Gore's book. And he has things about vegetarianism in it. And I felt if it's in the book, it's okay for this book.
Is there something so was it harder to come up with funny things to say about climate change, or was that fairly straightforward?
Well, as I told the agent early on, originally it was going to be a book only of my work, but he wanted it in a hurry because deadlines and timely subjects, they want to get it in quickly. In a hurry, and book publishing is like 8 months or so. And I told him that, as far as I know, and I know all these people, they don't really do stuff on the subject, but we'll do our best. And it was a little bit like pulling teeth getting work from some of the people because I knew they didn't do much on the subject. I was able to do it because I do a lot of science and had a backlog of some and revised some and did a lot of new stuff.
But these are all new. They've not appeared anywhere before.
Yeah, it's all new stuff.
Because I was surprised. I mean, Gayon Wilson. Did I say that right? Is that how he says his name? I didn't realize that he was still doing – I mean, maybe I just have been out of the loop for a while, but he's still doing cartooning.
Yes, I see him almost every week.
Wow.
He comes into the New Yorker, and he's still doing it.
Cool. And one of the things that you've got in here, which I think – well – there's a series of caricatures or drawings, cartoons of famous people with some wild sayings associated with them. For example, there's a woman who's saying, "Forests and rangelands have grown like a cancer," and that's Gail Norton, the U.S. Secretary of the – former U.S. Secretary of the Interior. And then there's another one, "It isn't pollution that's harming the environment. It's the impurities in our air and water that are doing it." And that one's Dan Quayle, U.S. Vice President,
yes.
Or former. Did these people really say these things?
I hope so. I used two sources. One was there are various websites of actual quotes. Well, you could look up quotes and mm-hmm. You could look up political quotes, and they're there on numerous subjects. And several of these were from these websites, so I'm just hoping they're accurate. And the other was books of quotations. And one that I actually referred to was called Foolish Words, The Most Stupid Things Ever Said or Ever Spoken. And Dan Quayle's was in that book, along with Lee Iacocca's, who he said, how much clean air do people need?
It says another one here from Dick Cheney. It says, conservation may be a sign of personal virtue, but it's not a sufficient basis for a sound, comprehensive energy policy.
Yeah. That was on one of those websites.
Yeah, yeah. So I have to say, I don't know if this is if it's fair to note this, but it seems like most of the people that you are taking these quotes from are generally on the right side of the political spectrum.
They're almost all Republicans. I was hoping to find a Democrat. The editors asked me to come up with a Democrat. I looked up Democratic, conservative Democrats and came up with nothing. The closest I got was we have this Al Gore page that Tom Hackman did. It's not the same as one of those crazy quotes, but he did a fictional piece of Al Gore doing a rap song about the environment with a couple of go-go girls, and it's a wonderful page. It was like pulling teeth to get Tom to do it. He's a real artist and maybe temperamental, but he turned out a great page, and I love it.
We're talking with Sidney Harris about his new book, Sidney Harris and Colleague. Well, talking to Sidney Harris about the book he wrote with colleagues or drew with colleagues called 101 Funny Things About Global Warming. And if you'd like to join the conversation, our number is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. One of the ones that really I liked a lot is that this is a very – I'm not sure I know – recognize – Lorenz, is that – I'm reading that right? So he's got a lawyer sitting around sitting at a table with law books behind him, and there's a family sitting behind, and they're obviously some of them are concerned and sad, and others look very angry. And the lawyer's reading from the will, and it says the cash assets go to his alma mater, but the carbon credits are divided equally among the family.
Yeah, Lee turned out a lot of great stuff, and I was glad to have his stuff. He had been cartoon editor at New Yorker for 25 years, so that's how famous he is. You didn't know his name.
So,
alas.
I didn't.
No.
No, well, you know, the funny thing is there was this book that came out a couple of years ago of the all the New Yorker cartoons that were ever done.
Yeah.
And I actually I talked to the editor of that book, and some of the cartoonists came in for that for another Talk of the Nation show. And it's a little tricky to talk about cartoons on the radio because you want to say, oh, look at this one. But there is a great history of poking fun at things through cartooning.
And I guess there is. It goes back to Dormier, probably.
Yeah. When did you start doing this?
I've been doing this apparently all my life, I think. I've never had a job, and I now have old enough to have grandchildren, so it's all I've ever done. And I just had a knack for it, I guess. I was able to write funny ideas and tried to draw and persisted.
But why science?
Well, it's not the only thing I do.
Mm-hmm.
I've had more cartoons in Playboy than in many other magazines.
Mm-hmm.
But science is an endless supply of raw material. This conversation you had with Ventnor a little while ago,
mm-hmm.
you can get many cartoons out of that, I think.
Well, give me an example. What would be a cartoon that would come to mind after I talked with – I was earlier in the program, I was talking with Craig Venter about creating this artificial chromosome. And how would you make a cartoon about that?
Well, I don't do them that quickly, but
– Right. Well, you have an idea, okay.
Yeah.
I'm not going to make you design it.
Yeah, I read the article in the Times today, and
uh-huh.
it's about little pieces that he put together.
Uh-huh.
And I guess you could start forming all sorts of strange creatures with those little pieces,
mm-hmm.
referring to his technique. But you got to fictionalize it a bit, I guess, and make something weird come out.
Yeah. And is that the idea, is to find something that is unexpected, or is it just funny to look at, or does it have some combination?
Yeah, I hope it has some meaning when I do them. I often get some feedback from scientists who think I know a lot more about science than I do, so I guess I somehow have have a knack for just getting to the subject without really knowing how the scientists had reached those conclusions.
Well, let's see what our listeners have to say, and I'll take a call now from Justin in Detroit, Michigan. Justin, welcome to Science Friday.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Good.
I was wanting to ask the guest speaker today, what is your ideas on why there's such a large split between people who think that global warming is an issue and then those who think it's just a left-wing political scheme or something? Is it lack of information to the masses? Is it political? Is it religious? Or, I guess, what's your ideas on that?
Okay. Thanks, Justin.
Well, I get the impression it's political, as I said before, that I try to find some Democrats saying these crazy things and couldn't find any. And I have a feeling it's sort of a bandwagon effect that the Democrats started out with this and Al Gore made a big thing about it. So it's very difficult for a Republican or conservative to agree with him. But other than that, it's quite puzzling. I don't know why a scientific idea had to become political.
Does it help in the humor that there is this political schism, or does that not make any difference?
Well, it helped in coming up with these crazy quotes of these people and seeing things that Rush Limbaugh, or whatever his name is, Limbaugh said. Mm-hmm. And it was just all this raw material from, but it just happened to be Republicans. I don't know. The closest thing to an independent was Lee Iacocca, I guess. Even Margaret Thatcher's in the book, and she's quite a conservative also.
Okay, we're talking again with Mr. Sidney Harris, not Dr. Again, there's this temptation because of the subject material, but maybe I've seen most of your cartoons in laboratories, so I think of you that way. But anyway, we're talking to Sidney Harris. He's a cartoonist, and his new book is 101 Funny Things About Global Warming, and we're taking your calls at 800-989-8255. I'm Joe Palka, and this is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Let's take another call now from Randy in Milford, Ohio. Randy, welcome to Science Friday.
How are you?
Good.
I heard that you didn't have any Democratic quotes, so I figured I'd give you one. It would be Al Gore standing up saying he invented global warming, so he invented the Internet also.
I see.
Well, where did he ever say that? I never came across that.
It's just a thing that floats around quite a bit that he had mentioned he had blipped instead he invented the Internet.
Right. No, I know that. There was a time.
Yeah, the Internet was a well-known statement.
Right.
Right.
Well,
no, he was.
The comical piece is that, you know, he invented global warming also, kind of a play on words a little bit.
Well, it could be.
Riffing off that. So do you ever take thanks for that call, Randy. Do you ever take ideas from other people?
No. Fortunately, I'm able to do them. I did a couple at my my son gave me a few when he was a teenager, and my daughter gave me one.
But you gave ideas to these other cartoonists, yeah?
Oh, no.
No, you just said do something funny?
Oh, yeah, they all did their own work. Yeah, absolutely. Other than just urging them on and saying, you got to give me some stuff. It was difficult because it's subjects that people don't do, I think mainly because there are few outlets for this type of material in publishing. And we're all profit-driven. We freelance. And we're not doing this just for our own amusement.
Okay. Let's take another call now and go to Rachel in, is it Duluth, Minnesota? Duluth.
That's right.
Oh, well. Yes. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Thanks. I love your show. It's my first time on. I'm a family practice doctor, and I had a patient who was dying of emphysema. I'd followed her for years, and I was sitting at her bedside. She was on 100% oxygen, gasping for breath. And I said, well, I just wish that you'd been able to stop smoking sooner. And she said, between breaths, oh, smoking didn't cause this. I said, no, what was it? And she said, acid rain. their kids got a big kick out of this because it was pretty typical of their mom. And of course, we all know there was a Secretary of the Interior who said something about if you've seen one tree, you've seen them all.
I think that was Bush.
Was the Secretary of the Interior some
really?
Back in the late Jurassic period. Remember now.
The late Jurassic.
When I was younger.
Yeah, exactly. So it's an affliction we're all beginning to feel a little bit now.
But yeah, I think so. Anyway, I'm enjoying the show. Thanks
okay,
so
Rachel,
much.
Rachel, thanks very much. We have some people who are following today's show on Second Life, and I have a note here from Izzy Tyroff, who says, I don't know if I said that right, my favorite juncture of Science Friday and humor and science and humor was the Far Side exhibit at the Smithsonian Natural History Museum. Did you ever go to that, or do you know Gary Larson's
no,
Far Side?
No, I know him, and I've never seen that.
Have you seen any of his cartoons?
Yeah, I've seen some.
Do they amuse you?
They're very good, yeah.
Well, why do you like them?
I got the feeling from what I had heard is he used to see my cartoons in American Scientist magazine and was submitting cartoons to the magazine. But that's about as far as my influence went. But he really went off in his own direction, and they were very crazy and funny.
Yeah.
The one thing he did, though, that I never did was he always would have animals eating people and killing people. And I just never went in for that. I guess they do it. I might have done it a little bit, but he had it all the time. The animals were very dangerous.
All right. I think we have time for one more quick call, so let's go to Ralph in Birmingham, Michigan. Did I say that right?
Birmingham.
Okay. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. This is directed to Mr. Harris regarding the previous question about why has global warming become so political. I submit that it's because the oil industry, the electric power industry, and the coal industry, and the auto industry to some extent have contributed a lot of money to the Republican Party, because doing anything about global warming would, they perceive that it would cost them a lot of money. I'll take my answer off the air.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, Ralph, thanks. Not much to say about that.
Well, it could be very well be, but I can't prove that.
Okay. Well, that's where we have to leave it, I'm afraid. Sidney Harris, thank you very much for coming in today.
Well, thank you, Joe.
He's a freelance cartoonist, and his new book is called 101 Funny Things About Global Warming. We're out of time. I'd like to this program is produced by Karen Vergoth and senior producer Annette Heiss. Charles Bergquist is our director. Flora Lichtman is our producer for digital media. Schumann Ma is out, our intern fellow. Josh Rogerson is our technical director, and he's at the controls here in the New York studio. If you'd like to write to us, please send your letters to Science Friday, 4 West 43rd Street, room 306, New York, New York, 10036. You can email us. The address is scifry@npr.org. Check out sciencefriday.com for more information and links to today's program. You can listen to past editions of Science Friday online or take them with you as a podcast. And check out Science Friday's Kids Connection, free curriculum materials for teaching science using Science Friday. For NPR News in New York, I'm Joe Palca.